Yeah, my dad was never really present. Yeah, we were living in the same roof, under the same roof, but he was never present. And I think I became very mental, very logical, because I started questioning myself, that why is not my dad present? Why is not my dad coming to my kindergarten presentations? Why my dad is not present in my graduations? Why is my dad not here when I see my uncles or other dads doing it?
Welcome to Fatherhood Voices, Breaking the Toxic Cycle. Dive in as real dads bear all, the mess ups, make ups, and every heartfelt moment in between. It's raw, it's real, and it might just change the way you see family.
Welcome to another episode of Fatherhood Voices. I'm excited today because I have one of my journey sisters here, and that's Nira Rivas, and she's going to share her story on motherhood, parenting, and also how she was raised, and then what it's like to raise twins. So with that, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the consideration and the invitation. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
No, I'm excited. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, where you're based out of and where you're from? And
Yeah, well, my name is Nere Rivas. I'm from Mexico. I was born and raised in Mexico. I'm 38 years old. So I was raised there. I moved to Arizona when I was 18, right after I graduated high school, not knowing what to do in life. What I thought, 1 year of learning a second language, English, I never imagined that I would turn my life to make a living in that same state. You know, I never looked back and I never went back. So yeah, that's pretty much my story. Didn't know that coming into Arizona, it was going to flip my life and change my life forever.
You know, let me ask you a question. So you grew up in Mexico.
Yes.
And so how was that growing up? What did childhood look like for you growing up? And then if you don't mind sharing, what part of Mexico, if that's okay?
Yeah, I'm from Chihuahua, the north part. It's almost the border with Texas.
Okay. And then how was life growing up for you as a child? Now, were your mother and father present in your lives?
Yes or no. It was a 50-50. What I mean with 50-50, I grew up with a mom and dad living together in the same house, but they were roommates pretty much. And for me, now that I'm a mom, that I'm older, that I'm able to look back and evaluate how I grew up, I feel like I'm a point of my life, I feel very blessed to be able to have both of my parents and some terms together, you know, but I never had that family feeling and values and the loving environment that I probably the little girl who wanted to have that loving environment. At one point in my life, I found myself being my dad's sort of wife. So I adopted that role for many, many, many years, you know, and always driving. And just when I had my awakening, looking back, I realized, oh, holy moly, I'm carrying all my dad's and mom's behaviors for so long. And it was the starting point for me to unlearn those behaviors.
And so you stepped into the role of your mom, driving and probably cooking, cleaning. So doing all the things that your mother should have done, but because they were kind of like roommates, you kind of took on that role. Now, were you the... now, do you have brothers and sisters? And then where did you fall? Yes.
Yeah, I have three older sisters. And well, the gap between me and them, it's really large. Like my sisters, when I have memories, they were already teenagers when I was a little girl. So I never had the chance to really play with them or engage with them because they're already in another period of their lives. Yes, they were present for a few years, but I remember me being 6 years old and they were already in high school trying to move and get out of the house for the toxic environment that we were living.
Now, in the environment, when you were a little girl, did you know that you didn't have like a unit in place of like a loving household, or did you know you lacked it, or did you see it later on when you compared it to, let's say, family or friends? Like, when did you know that, man, this, I don't feel like I'm in, and maybe loving is not the right word, because just that family component.
Yeah, consciously, I didn't know that, but unconsciously, I was able to feel it, the absence of something, the essence of a familiar feeling, the unity, the going out in, like a family. Like, I consider myself very logical. I grew up very, very, very logical until this point in my life where I realized that I became like that as a protection mechanism because I didn't want to suffer. I wanted to have everything in patterns, everything in control, everything in alignments, because I knew if something will get out of control, I will get my dad upset or I will cause any problems. And I didn't want to bring any problems in between my mom and my dad because I always wanted to be the good girl, you know, like being quiet. I just recently, until last year, I wasn't able to speak up the way I'm doing it right now because I was blocked. I always had to be the good girl. Don't talk. Don't cry. Your dad is going to get upset. Just be a good girl. Do the right things. Have everything manageable. So, and I grew up like that. So I was a very tough person.
Now, can you recall a memory that you look back on with your dad? And well, I guess two. One where maybe you felt disappointment or hurt that your dad didn't show up for you the way you wanted him to. And then also after that, if you can share a moment when you think about your dad and like, what's that moment that just you think of like, wow, you know, a good memory. So I guess a bad memory. And not necessarily a bad memory, but something where you really needed him and he didn't show up. And it just stuck with you. Like, it, maybe even to this day, it's still something you're working through.
Yeah, well, my dad was never really present. Yeah, we were living in the same roof, under the same roof, but he was never present. And I think I became very mental, very logical, because I started questioning myself the why. Why is not my dad present? Why is not my dad coming to my kindergarten presentations? Why my dad is not present in my graduations? Why is my dad not here when I see my uncles or other dads doing it? Now I know I see my dad with so much love and compassion because he didn't know any better. And once I understood and I listened to the story behind that, I was like, oh my God. So my dad, yeah, he didn't know how to be that present and loving father the way I probably wanted to, but he did the best he could. You know, he was seeking for that. His mother passed away when he was 8 years old. He's one of the older brothers of 6 or 8. So he became a dad for his siblings, pretty much. So he had to become an adult in a very young age. So, and he was lacking from a mother image and love and connection when my dad was, my grandpa, he was so rough on them. So pretty much he left all the kids and he became that part that I was missing for his siblings, you know, like that role model for them.
Wow. And, you know, and I can relate because, you know, there was a long period of time where I wasn't present for my girls. And a lot of it was, you know, as much as, you know, I thought I was present, I really wasn't, because especially in the business that we're in of real estate, you're always just kind of chasing that next deal to put food on the table and just, you know, if you don't put deals together, you know, you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. So I get it. Different, you know, circumstances and so forth. But I can see the whole thing of just not being present. You could be there under the same household, but just not be there mentally, emotionally, and psychologically.
Yeah, he couldn't. He couldn't sustain that. And I see, now I see how it affected me on growing up. Like, it was reflected on all my relationships. I honestly thought that most of my wounding was from my dad. But no, it's also a lot that I carry from my mom as well, that I just had a realization last year when I sat with ayahuasca for the fifth time, that I opened up my heart. And I said I opened up my heart because that's finally where I allow it to be open. Because for so long, I was in this resistance because I didn't want to be hurt. That little girl didn't want to be hurt anymore.
You know, and it's beautiful to hear you share that when you sat with plant medicine. It opens up your throat chakra and allows you to have those conversations that sometimes don't even happen in this lifetime. You know, we go through life and never have the opportunity to really speak our truth. And then our parents pass away. And that's what kind of left with, you know, could have, would have, should have. I wish I would have, you know?
No, yeah, all those regrets. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and I'm definitely going to touch on that in a bit. But before that, let me ask a question. What's that memory you remember of your dad? If I could, Tainera, look back on a memory that you just remember a moment with your dad that was special to you, that's just imprinted in your heart.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that question, because I do have a lot of memories. Even though he was an absent dad in the household, I was my dad's little girl. So when he was there, he will spoil me, like he will show me love and appreciation. Like, I was feeling love in that moment. But those moments, they were really short. So, and not enough, you know, because as a little boy and girl or a girl, the only thing you want to be is love. You want to have your mom and your dad loving, and you want to see that in between them.
So what could you, as the daughter of a father, what could you share with other fathers out there that are going through this right now that have little girls and maybe aren't as present because of work or maybe because of distance, and you know, they go to work early in the morning, they come home late in the evening. So maybe they can't be there physically present as much and even emotionally. But what advice would little Nita give to a father right now in the present to say like, hey, this is what I need. This is what that little girl needs.
I will say quality of time versus quantity. And I practice this to myself over and over again in a daily basis, because I lose it sometimes too. You know, we get so trapped into, I got to cook and the house chores and the work and this and this and this. And then we get lost. We're human beings. We're so imperfect. So when I catch myself like going, it's like, and my kids are needing me, it's like a reminder. Just take a deep breath and just be in the present moment. Like everything else, no, doesn't matter. Like, I'd rather give them that attention, those 5, 10, 15 minutes of me, and I will be more proactive and more productive later on. But they will get what they need from me on that time.
I like that. So quality over quantity.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, because sometimes we spend a lot. I spend the entire day 24/7 with my kids, all day long, all night. So they're under me, they're under my roof. So it doesn't matter if I spend 24 hours with them, but my mind, my heart is so absent doing something else or thinking something else instead of me being in their level because they're little. So literally I go on my knees, and what I receive back in return is priceless, because they'll come to hug me right away, and that's all they need. And they'll be happy with that for maybe the next 30 minutes or 1 hour, and they'll be calm. But if I don't do that, guess what? They're going to start crying, acting up, get my attention. So I catch myself like this, evaluating myself. Why can't I improve on my daily basis to be a better parent? I know I'm gonna probably make mistakes. I'm going to continue to make errors. But now it's this evaluation. And when I say evaluation, because before I used to be very judgmental, and I feel like judgment comes from a lot of fears, and it's a protection mechanism. And that's something that I created based on my behavior growing up. So for me, it's like, okay, I need to move myself from being judgment, what's right and wrong, because that's not going to work out, and operate from a very position of neutrality. There's nothing right or wrong. but what can I improve? Because we're human beings, and one of the reasons why we're here is to learn how to return to the heart. How can I be a better person? How can I be a better mom? And now it's like, obviously, starting within me.
Wow. Now, you said that you've learned after sitting with plant medicine that, yes, a lot of hurt came from your dad, but it also came from your mom. Where did your mom not show up that you felt that it impacted you as a child?
Wow, that was a really hard one for me because I thought that I didn't have nothing to heal with my mom. Because, you know, my mom was very peaceful, the quiet mom, the one that didn't show up their emotions. She wouldn't look for problems or anything like that. So I thought that everything was perfectly fine with my mom. But now that I know all this information about the feminine, the masculine energy, how we present ourselves, the body language, the things that we do, the things that we said, all these things, I came to the realization of like, oh my God, I am following not my dad's role, but my mom's role.
Wow.
That was a big one. That was a big one. I think during that process that I was experiencing all this heart expansion and all this loving, and it was a lot of contraction as well, because all these emotions that they were holding on my body, they were coming up to the surface and I didn't know what to do. But I was like, in this reevaluation, okay, what is it that I'm exploring right now? What is it that I'm feeling? What is it that I'm learning with this? I created a little bit of resentment, not towards my mom, but towards myself, just for not knowing that before. But then it came the compassion to understand, okay, I didn't know any better. I think we as a kid, we grew up seeing our dads and moms being perfect and perfectly perfect. And we learn and we think that's okay and that's normal. But that's not normal. So me realizing that I was following my mom's model, I was very high on my masculine and my wounded masculine. Like I was driving like number one, the success. I'm not going to let anyone see my real emotions because I'm going to get hurt. You know, this protection of mechanism of protections that they were not helping on in my life. And if I wanted to become a better person, first for myself and then for my kids, because my kids are the most precious and valuable values that I have in this earth. So I needed to wake up and see and open this consciousness and be better.
Wow.
Yeah.
So as you went into adulthood and started dating, and this, you shared that this impacted your relationships. So when you decided to get into a serious relationship and eventually get married, did you have expectations on what you were looking for in your partner for your children?
That's a really good question. Yes. When I was 18, growing up, I thought I was old enough. I believe that I thought that I knew what I didn't want on a relationship, but I didn't know what I wanted. So that's when the real phase, because, you know, relationships, now I see that they're your mirror. They'll come here to reflect all the wounds and the things that we need to work on this lifetime.
Wow. And yeah, when you said,
go ahead. No, yeah, I got pregnant when I was 21. And that's when one of my most mystical experience happened during that time. I think that's when for the very first time, without me noting, I had my very first dark night of the soul. And I got a really close connection to God and the angels, me not knowing. I thought I was going insane and crazy. And I remember on my prayers asking for help to get me out of that situation because it was feeling awful and I didn't know what it was. And I didn't have the environment of support because I was very quiet. I used to be very shy and reserved, you know, because I was afraid of being judged and being wrong. And I remember they told me when you're 36 years old, and I'm like, I don't want to wait all this like all this time, you know, to just to feel alive again. But what they meant is when I was 36, that's when my real awakening and understanding of the process of my life was going to come and show up to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how have you structured, you know, you as a mother, have you created any structure or boundaries on how dad shows up, you know, your children's father, how he shows up in their lives?
Thank you for that. Yeah, I feel like boundaries, they're really tough on me. So I didn't know how to create boundaries until recently. How to say no was really hard. I was a people's pleaser. I was very reserved, but I didn't know how to say no. So that made me put myself into situations that I didn't want to be involved, you know? And I don't want to say bad situations, but just by saying no, I was breaking my values because I was not following what it feels right inside. So now this in the past year, as I'm learning how to integrate everything who I am and returning to my essence, it's this learning of it's okay to say no and not feeling the guilt and shame that I'm going to make a person feel bad or sad or if I'm making a mistake. Even though if I make a mistake now, I know that it's a learning experience. And teaching that to my kids, it's essential now, like, because we're all learning. You know, my kids came here to be my greatest teachers. It's this learning of understanding that they're getting to know their emotions, same as us adults, because we didn't know how to integrate all that. So they're showing me that with patience and love and practice and consistency, we can evolve to be very human beings and understand. I feel like the nervous system and the emotional intelligence is very important, and all these things are not taught in schools. So we got to learn and unlearn past behaviors. So I think we have a bigger role and a bigger responsibility, not only for us, but for future generations as well.
Wow. Now you have three. How many kids do you have and how old are they?
I have four. Okay. I have four. I have a 16-year-old, which I had when I was 21. Obviously, that relationship didn't work out because I attracted nothing but my dad's figure. So I was so in my wounded masculine. So we crashed and I was like, no. I know this is not what I want. I want best. So later on in life, I met my current partner. And we have my three kids, my 5-year-old daughter and my set of twins. They're two now.
And how has integration been with your 16-year-old? And then as you now found a new partner and got married and then had kids, how's that look like with a blended family?
It was really hard in the beginning. It was really hard in the beginning because I was not healed. So my wounded side attracted a wounded partner. So if it wasn't because we're on the same and on the same path of evolving and learning, and we're on the same workshops and trying to do our best, working on ourselves, because the best thing I can do for him is to work on myself, and the best thing he can do for me is to work on himself. So it's how we have learned how to communicate and bring this relationship to work out in some form. But at first it was really hard. It was really hard because my son was reflecting on him all the things his dad was gave to him, you know, like, and that would trigger him. So a lot of triggers were at first, but now I think they have a really beautiful relationship. I feel like they even have even better conversations, that mother and son, because they are that and son.
Wow.
And it's so beautiful to see that.
Oh, I bet. You know, the beautiful thing is, I was there when you started your journey with plant medicine. And I remember that day specifically, you know. And looking back at when you showed up to now start your journey, to open your heart and sit with plant medicine. And now that you know, you have so much more wisdom now because you opened up your heart, your throat chakra. How does motherhood look like for you? You know, just kind of looking back at how you raised your 16-year-old, and then you had your younger kids. That were just, your twins weren't even here yet. You had the younger baby at the time, and now you're transitioning into healing, you know, healing. And when you look back, is it the mistakes? And I don't know if their mistake is or just you didn't know any better, but looking back on how I raised my son and how I raised my second child, and then now going through the transition to plant medicine, like, was it made aware right away or did it go through a process? Because now you've been on this journey for a couple of years.
Yes. I think we started together. Yeah, I feel so blessed, honestly. Like, if I look back, I cannot complain. I feel like my life story has been my medicine. Sometimes we want to get into a destination. I want to be happy once I have this. I want to be happy once I get this. I want to be happy once I accomplish this. But during my meditations, looking back, I feel so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for the parents that I had. Thank you for the lessons. Thank you for all the knowledge. Thank you for who I was, because without that, I wouldn't be the woman who I am right now. Thank you, because there's always room for improvement. You know, like, I'm not perfect. I used to think that I was perfect because everything will come up so perfectly for me because I had everything under control. And now when I let control go, yeah, everything became very messy. But in the allowing, everything kind of like settled down. And now it's like, okay, maybe I won't. Maybe today is going to be a great day and everything will flow. Kids are going to be great. Maybe tomorrow will be different, you know, because they're learning to regulate their emotions and it's going to be a little chaos. But now there is room for improvement. Every chaos, every challenge is a room for improvement. And in reality, it's how we see things. It's how we see things. It's a projection of life. Like, it's either I want to stay and complain. Maybe I can complain one day. Or maybe I can react one day, but for how long am I going to be react? Like, that's where the evaluation comes in my life and see, okay, Nate, you know better, let's improve this. What this lesson is teaching me, like, maybe patience. Okay, I got to be more patient. Where is this reflecting on my life? Or where is this coming from? Oh, okay, I see my dad and my mom. I see the dynamic. Now, okay, what am I going to do with it? And move on. And be open with our kids. Talk to them, because they, even though it doesn't matter the age, they understand. They know. We have this thing we call connection. They feel. They sense. If I'm crying, one of the days, I don't know, I was under the influence of the moon and I was very emotional and I felt the need of crying and I wanted to hold it tight because I didn't want my kids to see me cry. And I decided, you know, I'm just going to cry because I'm not crying because I'm sad or anything. I just feel the need of cry. And the reaction of my daughter, she came and hugged me and she's like, why are you crying, mom? Because I'm happy. Okay. And I feel like for her, seeing me being this vulnerable, that it's okay to cry, to show up emotions and not even having something to happen for me to cry, it's okay.
You know, you there's so much wisdom here. It's like you're dropping like Instagram quotes left and right. Like, I just want to snip all these quotes and just turn them into quotes, you know, a lot of knowledge and wisdom. I can just see the growth. Cause I remember, you know, when I first met you and you guys were very quiet. Well, you're very quiet. And then now seeing you just kind of like blossom. So it's beautiful to watch that awakening happened, you know, over the years that, you know, we've known each other.
Yeah, I was very quiet, but very frustrated because I have so much to share and to heal from. And everything will get stuck in here. That's why I was quiet. Now it will take practice and consistency and be willing. Like, people often ask me when they're under the medicine and they're like, well, what do you do? It's like, it's because everything. And even this was a message from the medicine. Here, Nettie, you have two options. It's either you want to keep controlling and resisting, it's going to feel bad, or you're going to allow it. It's going to feel bad too, but it's a good bad. You know, like this is going to be a release pad. So, and afterwards, like we all decided, and the journey is not when we are under the influence of the medicine. It's in real life. Because how you show up to any of those moments is how you show up in life. And once again, for me, the evaluation instead of judgments has been a life change. And that perspective is like I apply every single life, every single day, every single moment. Like when something is chaotic or challenging, okay, it's time to evaluate. Where is this coming from?
Wow, spoken like a true facilitator of the medicine. You know, let me ask you a question. So you sit with plant medicine. Which one of your parents is the first one you have a conversation with? Is it your mother, your father, or both? Because I remember when I came back from my ayahuasca journey and I went straight to my parents' house and I sat them at the table and I dropped some bombshells, you know, because I had to, you know, I had to release and I had to share my hurt, my pain. And so I remember that moment very, to this day, just every single thing about that, because it was powerful for me to finally release things that I've been holding in. So what did that look like for you with your parents?
Okay, for me, I believe that I'm very respectful because not everyone is here to do any type of work. And with that being said, it's not like I feel special for doing the work because I'm not. It's just basically my journey, my life. I remember back in 2016, that's when me and my husband, we were seeking to do something better because we were about to get divorced. Like it was not working. I was following my household patterns and he was doing exactly following his familiar patterns. So it was not working out. So we came to a point where we were about to get divorced or ask for help. So you ask for help, you shall receive. Gotta be careful with what you ask for because it's not easy. So we embarked on this journey. That was when we did our first personal development program out of the medicine. And after that, we fall so much in love with that, that we start inviting our family and friends and, you know, but we were not ready to sustain all the criticism that would come because back in the days, like, oh, is this, what type of church is that? No, it's not a church thing. It's not Catholic or Christian. It's nothing about that. It's about you, the personal development. So we invited my mom. And that's when I had the realization that she was not being ready to open up. And all the work, that's when I took the decision that all the work that I'm going to do it for me, respecting them where they are and meeting them where they are, because the wisdom comes from me. And if I do work on me, eventually it's going to be reflected in them and they eventually will be open to share anything. But respecting and meeting them where they are, that has been huge for me. Not trying to force things and not trying to change them because they're not going to change. My mom now is 72 and my dad is 73. So yes. And same thing with my dad. With my dad, I feel like he lives in Mexico. My mom moved to the U.S. when I came to Arizona when I was 18. I was the excuse for her to leave my dad. So she basically stayed in this relationship for her kids. And I was like, why? Well, not judging, but questioning why you allow all this to you, not setting boundaries. Because that's what I learned, not setting boundaries then. But now I feel like, thank you, mommy. Thank you for all your sacrifices and everything you did. You didn't know best. And I know she learned that from my grandmother too. So it's been going on in generations. And now it's up to me now that I'm aware, now I'm unconscious, that all these patterns do the daily work. Because it takes daily work to recognize where I am repeating those patterns again. Not because I just did the medicine and I read a book means that I'll be perfect and I'm not going to make any mistakes. No, I'm human. I'm going to keep showing those triggers or those wounds or those patterns. But it's when it comes to, okay, I catch myself doing this, it's time to go and work and do the work.
Wow. And I love how you said you're meeting them where they're at. That's powerful there. And what about your relationship with your 16-year-old son? So is he 16 now? How's
he's
your
16.
Oldest?
16. Yeah, he's so 16.
How's your relationship with him now that you've sat with the medicine? Well, you started your journey in 2016 with development and so forth, but and then just having this awakening. How's the relationship with him?
My relationship with him has always been close, very close. We're very close. I did own responsibility because during the past 2-3 years, kind of created some distance because I needed to go inward and heal this wounding, and I didn't want to pass it on to him. So basically, this past week, I was experiencing some emotional. Very emotional, and he was very emotional as well. And I was like, okay, it is really up to me to open up to him and see what's going on. And we ended up having a really good conversation. I'm very open to what my practices are and to what I do. Like, I don't want to hold any secrets on him and just really allow him to be open and decide if this is the path that he wants to do, or just by leading by example. Like, they're really watching. They're really paying attention. They're really listening to you, the things that you do. And that just to be open and be able to listen to them. I asked for him to sit next to me and I would listen. Hey, what's going on? I feel like I was feeling that he was really a little off. He was very, very upset because he got into this ruffle and he didn't win. So I was like, what's going on? What's the reason why you wanted to win? Why you're so obsessed? Tell me everything. I'm just going to listen to you. I'm not going to say anything. You're not right or wrong. I'm just going to listen from a very neutral perspective. But I just want you to be open to me and have that I got you. And it was really beautiful because as he was opening, we created room for me to open. And for me showing up my vulnerability and showing up my emotions and also how I was feeling, we created a bond. I mean, I don't want to say that this happens every day because we're so conditioned. Human beings, we're so conditioned. If we don't catch ourselves in the go and doing and just living, surviving. But create that with your kids. It takes 5 minutes. It takes 10 minutes. Once a month, once in a while, once you perceive something that it's probably off, like just give those 5 minutes. It will be a life changing.
So if you could call that something, what would it be? Because what you just shared right now is a powerful practice that can be captured on a PDF. And because I'm always looking for moments, you know, and that's something that can be captured in order to use as resources, you know, where they can go and they can grab a resource and say, okay. And what you just said is it doesn't happen every day, but being able to just be vulnerable and share and get him and open up, that's beautiful. What would you call that moment if you could give it a title? Because that's powerful right there.
I will call it have that connection, like heart to heart.
Heart to
get
heart.
Heart to heart with your kids. Like I said, it doesn't have to be quantity, but quality. Quality of time is what they need. They're looking at you. If you close your eyes and you go back to that inner child, like what were you wanting to have from your parents? That's probably the same thing that they want from you because they're seeing you like your idols, like your role models. What model is it that I'm giving to my kids? And that doesn't mean that I have to be perfect. I'm so imperfect, but it's in this connection that they understand that we as a parents, we also make mistakes. I was telling my son, you know what, son? Sometimes I get this perspective that you see me like everything, that I'm a rabbit and I'm like constantly doing things and going and holding space for you and my partner and your dad and the kids and the house and everything. That I feel like you often forget that I'm human and that I have feelings and that I have emotions and that I get tired as well and I deserve some rest. And then he looked at me and I think he got the message because he was like, yes, mom, I'm sorry. I promise I won't be so hard on you from now on. Because I understand that you have a lot on your shoulders. And that was like a wow moment for me because I was creating that consciousness that we are all human beings. We all feel, we all make mistakes. We are all navigating on this lifetime, trying or learning how to be better human beings. And we're acting and we're showing up in life just with what we have and what we know, and we're doing our best and have that compassion for others. It was big for me.
Wow. You know, it's, and the name that you gave it was so beautiful, heart to heart connection. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about that. That's not something that's just for your kids. That's something you can do in your relationship. That's something you can do with, you know, with your partner, with your spouse, with your parents, with your siblings. Yeah.
And with people in general. And with people in general, because that's basically the base and the essence where we should operate. But we forget. We forget how to get connections because we get hurt. And the ego, our minds, the mind is not bad. I often hear, oh, because we need to get rid of the ego. We need to kill the ego. We need to. No, what about making peace with the ego? Because the critical mind is essential for you to survive. We tend to disown our physical body or humanity because we want to become spiritual or something else, and that's not even sustainable. We need to learn how to be human. That's what we're here, living a human experience. That's already existing in there. We just forget how to tap into it. You know, that's where the practice is. But what we came here is to make peace with that part of us and being human and have that imbalance and harmony. And as a humans, once again, we're going to make mistakes. And there's where the lesson is. If we were to be perfect, there were not evolution. There would not be lessons to learn.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you shared that because my thing was always to go in and kill the ego when I sat with the medicine. But then I learned, it was revealed later on, no, the ego's what's got us to where we needed to be. So you just have to learn to tame the ego and learn how to use the ego for a better purpose.
Yes, make peace with it.
Yes.
Make peace through compassion, through love, through understanding that the ego play its role when it was time to play the role of protection. That's okay. But now, who you are right now, who are you being right now? Where do you still want to protect and play that game? So where's the knowledge and where's the wisdom coming from? Like, it's still the protection mechanism. So once I started like accepting that was the life path that I had to live in order for me to be where I am right now, the imperfect woman that I am right now, it's thanks to my ego. Because that's where all the challenges laid down. And that's where it was room for improvement and growth and everything else in life. Because for essence, when we come to this world, I feel like we're in essence love. We already are love. So we just need to remind ourselves how to go back to that. Through that, it's working on the challenges.
You know, I love the fact that you own that, you know what? I'm an imperfect woman. I'm an imperfect woman and I'm okay with that, but I'm growing. I'm growing into the woman that I can become. And I love that the way you said that, because in today's society with social media and everything out there, you know, women are striving to be these, you know, perfection, you know, and whether it's how they look or weight or contouring or, you know, you can fill in the blanks, makeup, you know, and just to be able to say, no, I own the fact that I'm imperfect and I understand my ego, but I'm growing and I'm healing and I'm working. And that right there is powerful. So
you know,
powerful.
You come to a place out of my imperfection, I can say that most of my days, they're in so much peace right now. I believe that love can tell me I am everything. But the wisdom that I hold inside tells me that I am nothing in this earth. So it's a communion, you know? And in between those two flows a river of life. Once we understand that, once I make peace with my body to accept me and to love me for who I am, my inflammation went down. I don't struggle with food. I don't struggle with looking okay or being okay because I feel okay. I don't feel like, oh, I'm the most beautiful woman because I'm the most beautiful woman for my life. I might not be there for the world, but I am for my own life. And I accept myself exactly the way I am because I get asked, oh, how do you do it? Because you don't get weight gain, you know, like, and I see you eat everything and you don't, I mean, you take care of yourself, but you're not so strict on any diet, like, because I'm in peace with life at that point. Where you're not in peace and when you haven't healed and gotten to the root of everything, it's going to reflect on your body. Because that's why you hold it yourself physically. That's your physical body in this material world.
Wow. You know, as we bring a close to this podcast episode, what are your closing thoughts? Like, you've just shared so much knowledge and so much insight on peace and happiness and just being okay with accepting who you are. What would be your closing thoughts?
I feel like as a society, we are often focused on the outer world, on the partner, on our friendships, our relationships, on the material stuff, the cars, the house. We're so distracted with all these beautiful things that this earth has to offer. But my life changed when I decide and I chose to first look at myself as I was the only one on earth and to accept the essence of all my beautiful challenges and all my beautiful strengths. And when I started making peace with this, my heart, my ego, and bring them into union, it was not easy, but it was necessary for me. Everything started flowing in a more beautiful and harmonious way for me. And I'm not saying that everything is perfect every day, but it's one of the experiences that I live and feel very often. Because one thing, it's knowledge. And one thing, it's the heart. I can know the concept of love, but to feel, it's another thing. And I believe that that's where it takes courage to feel.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that powerful insight and those closing words. And wow, this has been another powerful episode. And coming from a mother of four children, including two twins that grew up in another country and stepped into a role to help serve her father as she was growing up. And then also just being okay with accepting you are who you are. You accepted who you are. You've accepted and you've embraced your imperfections. And you've sought out peace. You've sought out to be peace and a better version of yourself. And for that, I applaud you. And thank you so much, Neda, for coming on and sharing. There was so much wisdom, so many, like I said, so many Instagram quotes that I'm just going to borrow, you know? And just a lot of powerful just words of wisdom. Thank you again for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Afterwards. Okay. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Well, thank you, brother. See you.
Okay. Bye-bye.